Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we want that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Wednesday afternoon. Life got in the way for me yesterday. It kind of gets in the way for me later tonight. So I figure, why not? Why not? Not to try to mess with you guys, but hey, it is what it is. Anyway, we are back to talk some boxing. Hope everybody's doing okay. There's a lot to talk about, no doubt about it. Whether it's in the ring with Josh Taylor's great win over Jose Ramirez, dropped him twice, got the nod on the cards. Of course, this weekend, Ubali and Donaire and Haney and Jorge Linares on DAZN and Showtime, respectively, this weekend. So it's a busy fight weekend coming up, no doubt about it. Obviously, the last time we spoke, what was that, last Wednesday, right?
Yeah,
I did the show Wednesday because life got in the way then. That's right. We were talking about Wilder Fury as far as the arbitration decision, and now there is, it seems, you know, some finalization on that, you know, card in general, as far as where it's going to be and all that good stuff. Not totally different than what we thought. But what is different is Friday afternoon, something like that, Pacquiao and Spence. Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao versus Errol, what, the truth, Spence. August 21st in Las Vegas, Fox pay-per-view. Really, really had everybody going crazy. I mean, man, that was crazy. I didn't expect that. You know, there was some rumors out there that they had at least – had a discussion. There was that report that they're deep in talks, but you know, Pacquiao had been deep in talks with a lot of folks, right? So I didn't know this. I didn't know for a fact. I mean, I kind of was like, but you know, it was like either Mikey Garcia or Spence. And I kind of had felt like it was going to be Mike Garcia. And there was a time actually after the scheduled fight, what was going to be a scheduled fight with Danny Garcia, January 2020, to flash back that far, you know, that was going to be, you know, a fight there. And then I'm pretty sure Mikey Garcia and Pacquiao were going to fight. And then the winners were going to fight each other, which most people would have thought Pacquiao Spence. But that was all talk at the moment. It was awesome that it wasn't some long, you know, dragged out 3-4 months. Oh, we're 2 months away. We're a week away. I'll probably announce it this Saturday. You know what I mean? Obviously, the folks at Top Rank couldn't be that happy. Came right after the weigh-in or something like that. But it is what it is. You know, all is love and warfare, or however that old saying goes. Clearly, you know, Bob wasn't necessarily on the up and up when it came to how he was talking about this arbitration prior. So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But we have ourselves a great fight, Pacquiao Spence. Which one's going to be bigger? Some people think Wilder Fury 3. Some people think Pacquiao Spence. Just off the top, when we heard about this fight possibly taking place, I thought it'd be, and I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about a little while ago, I thought it would be 600,000 or 700,000 pay-per-views. We'll see exactly how Fox, you know, promotes it. They usually get behind. I mean, these are two, like Pacquiao, Spence, and Wilder. And I bring up Wilder because that's their side of the money, right, for Fox and whatnot. So does this mean that Fox is, like, was just on budget cuts, right, like we were talking about from the pandemic, and they're going to come back with a stronger schedule? But just the investment made, it's a major investment to pack Spence and Wilder all in a couple months. So, what, you know, they were already on the for Wilder, if that Wilder Fury fight was going to happen, because they had already, you know, gone down the line with that. But the Pacquiao Spence is pretty expensive. So does this mean that they're still fully on board, you know, and that their summer schedule is going to be better? You know, we'll go over some of the fights that we think are already married or are realistically, you know, going to be made potentially. So, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting thought, you know. And obviously Crawford, Crawford can't be happy. You know what I mean? He did, what is it, Benny the Boxer? What's that guy's name? He's part of Team Crawford. I actually have a little bit of audio that I'll share from their point of view. It basically is like the world, it's Tupac, you know, not eyes all on me, but, you know, basically just the me against the world type stuff, you know? We'll hear the audio. Speaking of audio, I do have a great audio clip that someone posted on Twitter about Eddie Hearn and how many different times he talked about this fight's done. And like I said, last week, you know, there was a lot of activity during the week on Twitter over that, right? I mean, and then the Pacquiao Spence blew it up even further. But, you know, some folks in the media or part-time media made it sound like people were celebrating the fact that Wilder Fury's happening and Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua isn't. It's not that. It was actually more of a stand against these freaking media members that will just act like lapdogs, not just lapdog and lap up anything and wag their tail. And when Eddie Hearn comes home, they're right at the door waiting for him and all that. I get it. Financially, I get that. But it's the combo, right? It's the combo of one side saying this is what's going to happen. Let's not even – that we're just going to listen to Bob. We're not even going to put Bob's or Eddie's or Wilder or whatever. They're quotes in context. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to this boxing media stuff is the context, you know, as if there's nothing to worry about because Bob said it. Well, okay, that's cool. I understand he's a lawyer, but there was some pretty basic stuff here as far as the moving date and especially that they had control. And I'm not going to rehash that from last week, but it's not a celebration. It's more of like a what the hell. And then, you know, you had literally a team of people on there saying, just take step-aside money. What's the problem here? You know, as if that didn't need to be negotiated. And I did get some messages saying, oh, you say that's not a done deal as far as, you know, they couldn't do that, you know, give the step-aside money. It's not that they can't do it. They definitely could do it. And Eddie Hearn has said that he would have maybe, you know, been down to pay Wilder as well, but they would at least have to draw up, you know, another layer into that negotiation. It's not just step-aside money. It's being able to get a fight with Fury or AJ, and that would bring in new, not just step-aside money. It's actually getting them to say, I'm next too, and then with the belts, you know, fall apart at that point, which I wouldn't care. Some people would care. Oh, it's not a real undisputed. Well, you know, it is what it is, you know. I don't know. It's just funny. It wasn't a celebration. It was more like, see, guys, that you got to do your job. You got to balance it out. We always say we just throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. That there's one side, the other side, and probably what happens. Sometimes that's how it goes, you know. There's three sides to a story, It's just the context. You at least have to bring up the layers of context. And now there's just this big thing of, Wilder ruined it all. Well, what do you mean? You mean Bob Arum and Tyson Fury ruined this. It has nothing to do with Wilder beyond him just, you know, wanting to fight the best, wanting a rematch. What big deal? It is funny how it's like, this sport shouldn't be about money, bro. And then it's like, just take the money, dude. You know, it's just so funny. Anyway, the Pacquiao-Spence thing, I'm happy for Spence. And Jesus Christ, Pacquiao. I mean, I already see some historians talking about, hey, you know, if he beats Spence, he's top 10. I mean, some people haven't been in their top 10 already. But this guy, it's just ridiculous. And in a great way, too. I'm not talking about he's ridiculous. It is ridiculous what he's doing. I mean, and look at his last performance, you know. I mean, it was phenomenal. If he were to beat Thurman undefeated, Spence undefeated, all past 40, golly, oh my goodness gracious, that would be crazy, phenomenal. And whether it was Crawford or whether it was Spence, shit, you can go back to 2018 when Pacquiao was still with Top Rank. Remember that 140? Manny's always been able to make 140 this whole time. And remember even Lomachenko team were not interested in coming up to 140. Obviously, 135 is tough enough for him. But I was even saying, hey, let me get Lomachenko or Crawford at that time. And then recently in the quote-unquote talks that they were in and the money fell out or whatever with Bob Arum and, you know, for Pacquiao and Crawford and whatnot. But sounds like that was a Michael Kahn's thing. You know, hey, I got this $50 pot, $50 million pot. Remember, because I think it was Pacquiao was the one that says, hey, I'll take 40, he takes 10 or whatever. I don't think it's that kind of money now, but I wouldn't doubt if it was 2010 or something like that. You know, the guarantees, I've heard everything from 20 to 30. It's kind of all over the place. Same with the Wilder Fury stuff. But I'm happy because, you know, a few years ago, it was really like time to turn the page, right? And that's a theme that we had for a while, like in 2016, 2017, once Floyd retired. And whatnot, right? And so it is. I mean, we know it is time to turn the page. Now, are Cotto and Marquez, that are they fighting that exhibition? I mean, there is some exhibitions, right? But as far as, like, the folks, the fighters that were entering their prime and still in their prime right now for a chunk of years, some of the guys on the up and up, we had that American boxing talent for the next 5 to 10 years. You should go check it out, actually. You can just page back there and you'll listen to that episode. It's a lot deeper than you think. But even if the torch, if capital IF, if the torch gets passed here, sure, it's not fully lit, right? It's not as bright as it used to be for Pacquiao. This is not Oscar against Pacquiao and Floyd, but it's pretty damn good. And the exposure that Spence got on the way up, and now you could tell, you know, just off his gates and his pay-per-views that he's settled in there as a profitable guy. And that's not easy to do in nowadays, you know, boxing. We can get some guys that can draw some, you know, gate money, but not even that many can go over even a million. So this is still a big deal. And I got to see, you know, I wonder what the pay-per-views number, you know, would be. I'm not totally sure on that just yet. I have to see the marketing and whatnot. But, you know, they will have preseason NFL, you know, in August. So they could, you know, get some promo done there, obviously. But it won't be, you know, prime time September through January type stuff. So there's that. They obviously have MLB. They have a lot of soccer. So they have other boxing events. I wonder if they're not going to, you know, have two events in August or something like that. We'll see. Like I said, we'll talk about what this means for Fox, too, because it's a major investment. Is this like a do-or-die thing here? Because there was another layer. I know this is a long intro, but there was another layer. Coppinger, I think, and, you know, sources, whatever, he does break a lot of stories, but he also, you know, doesn't, or he says he does, but then it's not. Whatever, it is what it is. That's kind of a life of breaking news guy. But he was saying there's a fourth-year option instead of just a straight-up four-year. And that's something somewhat new. I hadn't heard that before. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I mean, for someone that's about to go out of business, right? This is the last hurrah. Let's put up all this money for Pacquiao and Spence. It just seems like a weird way to go out. Seems like more of a, hey, let's make more revenue pay-per-view wise here. And maybe that's, you know, maybe just maybe that's why their budget was funked up a little bit. Cause it was clearly, we did an in-depth, segment. Talked about it numerous times. I did a blog that you can find on the Grueling Truth in Eastside Boxing and whatnot, Boxing 247, and that type of thing, you know, talking about it. So we'll see. You know, I hope ESPN, Fox, you know, I hope they all stay in the business. Obviously, DAZN and Showtime too, but those, we do need those main platforms. And, you know, Taylor Ramirez, it was kind of funky how they did the triple header. They changed it after the play-in games. We'll talk a little bit about that too, but it got a healthy rating. It would have been nice to peak over 2 million. And I thought it would have a chance to do that. But when when they actually scheduled the triple header, they had a game start at the end. You know, the third of that triple header was at the end of the card. So, but that can help too. That can help too, because people are tuning into that, you know. Anyway, clearly, as long as this intro went, you could tell that there is a lot to talk about. If this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. You know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropadope and download the show right there. Or if you don't listen to the browser, that's cool. You can find it, the Ropadope Radio Podcast under Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, almost everywhere. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing, football, basketball, baseball, everything in between. In fact, I believe D-Style Boxing is now on the Grueling Truth. So it's nice to have some more boxing shows. There was a time there where we had several. So that's nice to see D-Style. Shouts out to him. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plan start as low as $69, $69.99 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. Of course, they have the cloud and DVR available. And real quick, if you sign up for the choice package, it gives you a free year of HBO Max. That's AT&T TV. Okay, so we are going to start in the ring per usual. Because we had, a really good fight, and a very competitive fight. Some people thought it was very close. I thought it was fairly close. Some people had it more like 8-4. 8-4, 7-5, 6-6, any of those, will do, I think. But it was competitive. It definitely was competitive. And Taylor, man, those knockdowns, he was crafty with both those knockdowns too, whether it's like a veteran crafty move, you know, in a break. I know a lot of people are pointing to the referee there and saying it's his fault. He had done the slap on the glove to knock down the gloves, before. So it's not like that was his first time doing it. That in particular ref doesn't necessarily let you get away with a whole lot inside. It's not about getting away with it. It's about how long he's going to have you work on the inside. But no, it was not a great night for the referee, that's for sure. But I wouldn't just look at it from a biased Ramirez side on that, because he was saying stuff to Taylor as well. And I understand the knockdown happened there, but protect yourself at all times. The ref didn't put his arms all the way in there. Maybe you anticipated that. Okay, that's cool. I understand it. But for me, Ramirez, so there's an argument to be had that route. I get it. But this is boxing. And it's like any other sport, like basketball, right? Sometimes the referees are calling it tighter. Other times they let you play. You got to adjust. And I thought that Taylor, although at times, I'm sorry, Ramirez, at times I did see him hit with his, you know, one hand free and stuff like that, and do some, you know, body work when they're in the clinch and stuff, some crafty stuff. But I saw him time and time again looking at the referee, looking for help with it. And, you know, you can do that. I'm not saying you can't do that at all. But when the ref's not helping you, then you got to do it yourself. And I did see him do that a little bit more, but not nearly enough. And so I'm not going to sit here and say, if this is a different referee, Taylor would have lost. I just disagree with that. Because like I said, you could actually say, you know, he was saying that he was going to dock points from Taylor too, and Taylor was pushing the head down and whatnot. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? But when we look at this fight, I had it even through four rounds. The second round for me was a swing round. It seemed like Taylor was in control most of the round, you know, landed to the head and body. But Ramirez closed strong, and he got him up a little, you know. He had gotten him on the ropes after that first round, or at the end of that first round, too. But was it enough to steal the round? I'm not sure. That is a question mark type one. But then I gave Ramirez the third and fourth. I thought he started going to the body really well, landing both left and right hooks to the body. A couple of headshots, too. But, yeah, the body work, dude. I mean, he was really doing his thing, in my opinion. Overall, fourth round, just better shots, I thought, to the head and body. And there was a body shot late in that fifth round, though. I'm sorry, I'm looking at it wrong. No, late in the fourth round, that may have affected Ramirez by Taylor, you know, the land there. So either way, maybe that was enough to give Taylor the fourth round for you. So it could have swung the other way and I give him the second round. I don't know. But then I thought Taylor, you know, got enough distance for himself. The fifth round, he started to add a little bit more movement. He was jabbing pretty well, those hooks to the head. And then, of course, the sixth round, he knocked him down. Just a perfect shot on the chin, a great left hand. And you could see Ramirez, you know, he fired back and whatnot, and he landed some really nice right hands and stuff. But, you know, Taylor made sure to finish strong in that sixth round, so there'd be no doubt about it, 10-8. But that shot, when Ramirez came in with that left, that was a gorgeous shot. And same with the uppercut. It was like maybe 45 seconds, 30 seconds left of the round. Nasty cut. Nasty uppercut. And like I said, a lot of people are going to blame that solely on the referee there, because whether he said break it up and then just smacked Ramirez's glove, I think it was Ramirez's glove, and didn't break up, and Ramirez was anticipating it, you know, to be broken up and separated. It is what it is. Also, if you think about it, people were saying, oh, he gave, and then the flip side of it is people were saying they kept saying long count to Ramirez. Well, both of them, it wasn't a long count. A long count means, you know, four, five, six, you know, a long count. I think what people meant is he's given time to recover. But I saw that a lot, people saying, oh, it was a long count. Never was Ramirez in trouble of getting up in beating the count. So when you say long count, that doesn't add up to what you're trying to say. What you're trying to say is he gave him too much time, but people forget, and it's been this way for, like, I don't know when they made this more of a rule here, 2017, maybe 18. It's been this way for a while. I'm trying to think offhand. Oh, Ortiz, the first Ortiz fight, and Wilder, how he got more time when he was hurt or whatever. Here's the deal. After a knockdown, if it's hard, or you've been struggling, right? You didn't go down like Wilder, but you look pretty bad there for a second. The ref literally has you walk to the side. Remember Perella? He couldn't walk quite right. He stumbled. He wasn't listening to the ref. Like, there is a new rule that's been here for quite some time, and I don't think they do it in the UK, so sometimes the UK folks get a little, like, flustered on that, and I understand. And some folks here, the U.S. fans, though, it kind of, if you don't know what that is in the U.S., that's kind of calling you out as, like, a casual fan. And that's okay. Boxing needs a lot of them, but if you're just going to, you know, sit there and hit this thing home that he got all this time to recoup, remember, you're supposed to be in the neutral corner, too. Go back and look at those knockdowns. Taylor wasn't in the neutral corner the whole time. He was ready to go. He couldn't figure out that, you know, he hasn't been called in to say, yeah, you can go now. You're supposed to stay in the neutral corner. He was putting him through those walk tests. Come to me. You know, go to the left, that type of thing. That's how it is. Now, you can disagree with that, you know, because that is different than boxing, how it used to be off that. That's fine. You know, we used to fight 15 rounds, 20, 25 rounds. There's a lot of rule changes. So that's cool if you don't like giving fighters to make sure they're okay and you think it gives them too long to recoup. I get it. But those are the rules, and they've been there for a while. So for the Taylor fans, shouts out to Scotland, shouts out to the UK in general. But this is how it goes, because we could sit there and say your TKO knockouts are bullshit a lot of the times in the UK. But, you know, but it goes both ways. But as far as making sure someone's okay, when you see him get up from that second shot, he was a little wobbly. I mean, I know Ramirez was talking about flash knockdowns. Those were not flash knockdowns. I mean, he had no control body-wise because he wasn't ready for that second shot either. Not that he was ready for the first one where he kind of crumbled forward. But when he went back, he could barely put his arms out to stop him. And you see him kind of, you know, jolt back a little bit. I don't know if he actually hit his head hard, but that wasn't a flash knockdown. So 10-8 back-to-back rounds. I gave him the 8th and 9th, too. He had this little in-and-out, mixing up his shots, using his shoulder to clear space, looking like a vet, dude. Looking like a vet, no doubt about it. And Ramirez, at that point, turned into kind of tentative. You know, he turned into tentative. The 9th round was closer, though, but then I thought Ramirez closed really well. I thought he may have stole the 10th. He was busier with better shots in the 11th. And then it seemed like Taylor was kind of stick and move, and Ramirez had enough moments to give him that. So, I mean, there's some swing rounds in here, no doubt about it. The 2nd, the 4th, I think the 10th round might be. It was close. I had it 7-5 Taylor, 115-111. I could see a draw, 114-112. I could see 8-4 as well. So, you know, what is that, 116, 110? And all three scorecards on the road, 114, 112, had it a draw. But I didn't see this 9-3 stuff. You know what I mean? I didn't see that part. I definitely did not see that part. But it was a good fight. And Taylor proved to me that he could, you know, stay on point for a whole fight. And that is big. You know what I mean? I think that is very big. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a really good fight. Very good fight. And the whole card did just under $1 million, basically, because I'm sure there's people streaming it on ESPN. Plus. So the whole card did $9.95, but that's just on linear TV. So I'm sure it did about $1 million, the whole card, you know. The main event was averaged 1.3 and peaked at 1.67. So that's, you know, their biggest in a while. Let's put it that way. You know, it definitely, I think it's their biggest since, I'm trying to think here. Let me look at it really quick. I think it's the biggest since maybe their Berlanga after the NCAA lead-in at the end of 2020. I think that's what it was. Because that was Shakur that night, but the lead-in went right to Berlanga. And I think that peaked at like 2.2. So it was 1.6 is still a hell of a damn good number. Like I mentioned earlier, the triple header, you know, it was actually scheduled as a triple header from noon to like 7:30 Central Time earlier in the week when I did the show, because I was looking at it just to see and recording it and whatnot, making sure it was recorded and stuff. And then a couple days go by, and that's the play-in games, right? And I'm sure that kind of maneuvered some of their scheduling. So then it was two games, and then there was a break of like 45 minutes of SportsCenter, as far as it looks. I actually had to work that night. I watched it later. But I noticed there was like an hour break or something like that. It matters how long that NBA game went. But and then they had the you know, of course, the card, and then they went to the Portland Nuggets game, Portland and Denver, which makes sense. That's a West Coast game. So it still has somewhat of a lead-in, though, you know. I mentioned the Brooklyn, you know, Brooklyn and Boston, even though that wasn't a razor-tight game or anything like that, that was on at the same time. So that couldn't have helped that much, you know what I mean? But so, yeah, I was hoping for over 2 mil, but it is what it is. Still a healthy rating, and kudos to Josh Taylor. Where will he go, you know? Teofimo Lopez could come up once he gets by Gambosas. Obviously, the Terrence Crawford fight might be there as well. You know, later in the summer, they might take advantage of what is it, Catterall? That sounds like a drug. Dude, do you have any Catterall, bro? Just enough to last me this week. No, I think that they – I don't even know if that's his name. but I know there's a mandatory there. So they may – because I remember Taylor talking about let's take it back to Scotland and do that, you know, which would be dope too, just to get a little nice fight in there and then, you know, challenge someone at the end of the year or early next year, whatever it is. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. But either way, shots out to both fighters, right? Ramirez isn't done. Taylor, though, definitely impressed me. I liked how he stuck to a game plan a lot. He was moving a lot. He didn't sit there and just brawl, but he did enough, and he did make it rough, because that's what Ramirez wanted too. So I thought that was, you know, a damn good performance. So, you know, kudos to both of them, especially Taylor, though, because, you know, he got it in. He definitely got it in. Okay, so we actually did have, Jose Zapata and Hank Lundy fought. And, you know, there was Zapata's the guy that, you know, has been making a lot of noise at 140. And some people did think he beat Ramirez. I can't sit there and say he didn't. You know what I mean? But, you know, he had his moments in this fight. Down the stretch, like in the 10th round, it seemed like, whatever. It was kind of like Lundy was missing early. There was that moment, was it like the 3rd round, where it looked like Zapata had maybe got knocked down? I think it was the 3rd round. But either way, it was like a foot tangle situation. That sort of looked like anyway. But the right hands to the body by Zapata, you know, I thought were pretty successful, obviously. Both of them were throwing hooks, you know, pretty well. And he just kind of, he just outlasted him, you know, landed the better shots, straight left hands, definitely. You know, he beat him. It wasn't some kind of great fight or anything like that. But yeah, I'd say the jab, the straight lefts, the body work. I gave that one to Zapata, you know, cleanly, that's for sure. He didn't, like I said, didn't look phenomenal, but he didn't lose the fight either. We did have an upset, though. Kenneth Sims beat Elvis Rodriguez. Sims got off to, you know, a pretty good start. You know, his jab had a lot to do with that. You started to see Rodriguez start to land his right hook a lot to the body. Even like the third round was a close round, looking at my notes here. Rodriguez with the jab, right hook, and straight lefts. A lot of, like in that fourth round, early exchanges, both of them landed good hooks. But at some point, Sims kind of took control of it, and down the stretch, it was hard to give Ramirez another round. I'm looking at the sixth. I'm looking at the seventh. I'm looking at the eighth. Those hard left hands, maybe they stole the eighth, a hard left hand from Ramirez, but I don't think so. He was timing him with both hands, jabbing really well with Sims. You know, he was starting to push the pace down the stretch and go forward. Two scorecards had it 78-74. One had it 76-76. I had it 5-3 for Sims. I could see a 4-4, though. It's not like it was some kind of, you know, huge win or whatever. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I was impressed. It was a nice win by Kenneth Sims. Elvis Rodriguez is, you know, going to have to go back to the drawing board now. I think he had, yeah, he previously had a draw. Now he's got a loss, so we'll see, you know, where that takes him. There isn't a whole lot more that I'll discuss from that card. But overall, like I said, Taylor did his thing. I'm really wondering how the rest of the year is going to go for him. Maybe, you know, he has that Mando against at a cathedral, whatever that guy's last name is, Catterall Cathedral. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to disrespect the guy, UK fans, okay? I'm just joshing you a little bit. Because I'm using Josh too, you see that? Just joshing you. But I wonder if they're going to go right into something like that in October. Obviously, he's probably not going to fight in August and then fight in September or October if it's Crawford. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, and then, you know, from the Taylor side, do they want to go right up there and fight Crawford? Or do they maybe want to, you know, let Teofimo come up? I don't know. And then, you know, Teofimo in Top Rank, how cool are they? You know, we hear Bob Arum talking about this potential fight. We hear Bob talking about, you know, the winner of Devin Haney and Linares, Teofimo can get. And maybe they will be game to pay a little more for Teofimo. We'll see how that works. You know, I don't really know where they're at when it comes to that stuff, you know, as far as their business relationship. I mean, we know how much, you know, years are on the contract and all that, but I don't know, man. We'll see. We will see. Obviously, I guess you could, you know, I know Taylor's, like, hand, his knuckles, he was pretty swollen. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't need much time off from that, you know. But you never know. I suppose, you know, knock on wood, that nothing happens to Teofimo or Camposos for that matter, but as far as an injury that would really keep him out for 6 months or something like that. But we'll see. We will see. We know how the boxing world goes. If I had to guess at this point, I would say they'll get some home cooking for a fight and then maybe try to close out the year, you know, maybe an August fight. So that would give them, you know, some time to relax a little bit. If it's late August, maybe they could do it September. I know by the time September comes, though, if they want to do an outdoor stadium thing, that gets a little harder. You know what I mean? We'll see. But yeah, if I had to guess, I think they will be fighting at the Cathedral. Catterall, taking Catterall. Sounds like a good night, dude. Anyway, that's what my guess is. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, if it is a quick little fight, no biggie. You know what I mean? Actually, all right, so Portland's going to jump on a little bit earlier than normal. We'll fit him in here. You just text me when you're ready, Portland. I just saw your text there. So yeah, overall, you know, it was a good performance. And I know a lot of people, I wouldn't mind seeing the rematch. You know what I mean? I don't think that's some kind of bad fight. I don't know if they'll do that, though. I'm not sure if they'll do that. Go right into it like that. I'm not totally sure if that's the plan. But you never know. You never know. Ramirez, you know, I wonder if 140 is getting hard for him to make. There is some rumors out there that it is starting to get hard, but, you know, rumors, murmurs, people talking, who knows? You know, who knows? There are obviously plenty of good fights for him at 147. When he's in top rank, it's not necessarily the best position for him, but, you know, for welterweight, I'm saying. But, you know, maybe he could make the Ortiz fight at some point. Well, what am I saying? They're not going to make that fight. They're in the same table. So we'll see. We'll see. There is a couple of other things that, of course, we'll get to in just a little bit. The Ubali Donaire Showtime fight, main event. I'm really looking forward to that fight. I think that fight was all but officially scheduled before COVID. I don't think it was it actually scheduled. I don't think it was. I think it was like they're about to announce something. I don't think it was actually scheduled. But then it definitely was scheduled to close the year, but Donaire got COVID. I know there was a false positive thing with him, but then he was with Angelo Leo, and he had COVID too. So you came in contact, you had a false positive. I believe that was the scenario. But I'm looking forward to this fight. You know, can Donaire summon up, you know, the energy for you know, one more big fight like he did, even in, you know, a fight that he did well in, but he did take some punishment, you know, against anyway. I mean, that's been a long – both these guys have been out for a while. Obviously, Ubali is a guy who just had a breakout year in 2019. I think he had – pretty sure he had three fights that year. And he just kind of came on the scene, and, you know, he's an aggressive fighter. He's going to get hit plenty. He's not like – he does have some head movement and some quick feet, but, you know, he's trying to knock your head off, basically. But he's not, I don't know, I'm not saying he's got a great jab, but he's not just head first. But once he dives in, he's going to be swimming for a while, let's put it that way. And, of course, you know, Donaire will be looking for the counters and whatnot and, you know, using his reach and whatnot. Why don't we go out to Portland, 503, and see what is going on. Then we'll break down. And I also mentioned earlier Devin Haney and Jorge Linares. Nice step up. Where's Jorge Linares? Speaking of Donaire, can he summon, you know, his fighter spirit one more time, right? Well, what about Jorge Linares? You know, dude got beat not long ago. But, you know, he does usually have these little minor comebacks, right, after getting, like, stopped, like, in the first round or something, yeah. So we all know he had that, you know, great performance, even in a loss, but he did drop Lomachenko and whatnot. So it's a good name on the resume, and we'll see. Hopefully Jorge Linares has, you know, more in the tank than we think, but I think Devin Haney will win. But we'll break down that, and, of course, we'll talk about Pacquiao Spence, talk about a variety of stuff. Of course, we'll have our boxing – our fight news, a lot of fight news in boxing Twitter segment where we go over great tweets. We expose fanboys and media members acting like fanboys. And boy, are there a lot of them. I think that's what really exposed last week. All right, Portland 503, we're going to bring you on in. What's going on, man?
Mexicano sal grito de guerra, el acero aprestado y el rigor, y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón.
Yo, yo, what up, Chris? I'm doing good, bro, here in beautiful Oregon today. It's sunny as hell, but everything's all good. Some disappointing, kind of a disappointing weekend, but it's all good, you know what I mean? But how you doing, Chris? How's everything, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. No doubt about it.
Hell yeah, bro. And, yeah, but yeah, man, let's get into it. Like I said, this last weekend, it hurt. The results hurt. I was hoping, you know, my Mexicano, mi gente, my blood, mi sangre over there got it. But, you know, man, shout out to Taylor. If I could compliment Taylor, man, he looked good. In my opinion, he looked like the stronger and the bigger fighter. And I think that's when Ramirez kind of, was not looking good for him, because it's like I was looking at punches that weren't coming in. And, like, if you saw a lot of them in slow motion, like, a lot of them got parried off the glove. And, but yeah, I don't know. Taylor looked like just a stronger man in the fight. But Taylor, you know, man, like he was able to pull off those two knockdowns. I don't know, man. I got to say that, the second knockdown with, Bayless, I don't know if he got in the way. I mean, that's kind of a little bit, I don't know what's your opinion on that, Chris, but like, I thought it was, I don't know. You could kind of blame Bayless, but you can't, I don't know. He kind of made him, I felt like Ramirez kind of let go of his, just let go a little bit of what was going on. And he just got, I mean, it was, you know, he got hit, but Taylor did what he was supposed to do. And I like the way, in all honesty, I like the way Taylor fought, because, like, he brought the heat and the punches were, you know, coming in. And, that knockdown, the first knockdown where he got caught coming in forward, like, right at the beginning of the round, like, geez, like, crazy.
That was a gorgeous
shot. Like, damn, yeah, bro, I can't, you know what I mean? All respect to Taylor. That shit was, you know what I mean? He did his thing, and all respect more to Taylor, because he did it, like, in foreign soil. He did it here in America, and damn, he took that belt, and, you know, bro, he did it, like, with style, and, bro, man, shout out to Scotland. Holy crap, man, and, damn, bro, they got one, man. This guy is good, and also, too, man, if I could give Ramirez, a little bit of some positive vibes. Like, I thought, you know, he showed his Mexican guts. He showed his Mexican heart, blood, everything, man. He still got up, you know, fought forward and, you know, went all 12 rounds. And, to me is a victory. He didn't quit. He showed true guts, you know what I mean? And, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you gotta show that toughness, that grit. You know what I mean? This is a poor man's sport. We all saw, if you guys saw the buildup, you know, it was beautiful. You know, that's like, you know, my background, we come from the same, you know, hardworking people, immigrant, you know, parents, you know, who had, you know, gutted out and everything like that. So, you know, but man, this is a setback for Ramirez. You know what I mean? It hurts. But, you know what I mean, shout out. I don't know, he's still good, you know what I mean? It's all right, you know what I mean? He didn't get knocked out, you know what I mean? So, it's to me, he's still good. I mean, he's just second place, and, man, but Taylor, this is his moment. Let him shine, and, you know, I can't say nothing, and I can't disrespect the man. That was just a good performance, man. It's just, you know what I mean, you can't hate on the dude. And, but, yeah, he did it, like I said, on foreign soil, which is more impressive. And, man, and it looks like what? So – there's Crawford rumors right now, and I don't know, you know what I mean, if that's what's gonna happen, that's pretty sweet, you know what I mean, I'm not hating on that, man. That guy deserves a big fight.
Yeah.
After that, holy shit, man. So, you know what I mean, can't hate on that. If he goes up, you know, and challenges Crawford, you know, that's still a good fight to me. I mean, like, even though shout out to the fight that got made, Pacquiao Spence. Bro, that is fire. I already got Pacquiao, you know, into this fight. Holy shit. I love it, man. This is going to be a sick 2021 already, man. And, but yeah, as far as Taylor, this is his moment. Like I said, big shout out to him. And also, Zepeda, Shout out to him. He got a win over Lundy, a unanimous decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it looked a little kind of a little shaky for Cepeda in some of those rounds. Lundy was coming in, but then
yeah.
I felt like Lundy fucking gassed out and, you know, kind of, you know, didn't throw enough punches. Like, he just started kind of, you know, try to get a good counter or try to land a big punch on him, but he didn't get it and shit. So I was like, man, but shout out to Cepeda. He moves on. You know what I mean? But that was a tough fight for him, man. I mean, you saw that eye, bro. You know what I mean? He got hit. So he got it.
He looked 100%, you know? He didn't look his normal sharpness. It was a little funky. Now, you know, they didn't have much time to train for that opponent either. So that may have played into it. Maybe he's coming off. You know, sometimes you come off tough fights and it's not as good or whatever or something. You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I hear you. He won it. But, yeah, it was kind of a – It had moments of being interesting, no doubt.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Lundy threw hands, man, and he got some hands landed on Zepeda. So, you know what I mean? Shout out to him. I don't want to discredit Lundy because, I like the fights. I love how he builds them up. He's a talker, and, you know, he's one of those kind of characters I like in boxing. So, you know. And but also we got this weekend, I can't say his name, Nonito Donaire, we all know his name, right? So,
yep.
Shout out to Nonito. I hope he gets it this weekend, bro. You know what I mean? I know him. You know, he got some pretty good wins. I've seen him his HBO career and everything. You know what I mean? He still got that knockout over my guy over there, the Mexicano, where he sparked him out. Fuck, I forget his name, but he sparked him out. Like, yeah. Not Arce. Fuck. I forget his name, but it was like. It was like a flyweight dude.
Oh,
like
Montiel.
If you remember, Montiel, yeah. Thanks, bro. And, he knocked him out, like sparked him out, bro. That one hurt, you know what I mean? So I'll give a shout-out to Nonito, but hopefully he gets this one. You know what I mean? I'll be staying tuned. And also, I just want to give a shout-out to Wilder Fury. Wilder got his shit, bro. He's getting his third fight, man. Shout-out to him, man. And I just want to say, that shows true guts and true heart that this Wilder really wanted this fucking fight. And he wasn't, you know, wanting to step back to take, step aside money. And, you know, the fight is on. And, you know, did you see that, contract signing in on, I think on the fight of the Ramirez Taylor fight, I thought that was pretty sweet. How they did that whole video, showed us what it was and how he signed it off. And he's like, oh shit, dude. I thought, bro, that during the fight that got his lid. So, you know what I mean? And, but, man, yeah, the Wilder Fury 3 is going to be sick. And if you've seen Wilder, bro, like, he's been working on some skills. I wish, in all honesty, I like that he's working on new skills, but I wish it was on with a well-known trainer. I don't know about Malik Scott, you know what I mean? And this you know what I mean? And this kind of justifies what I've always thought that I just real quick, just to get at, like, I always thought that their fight was kind of phony. So, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Just they both got their money. So, but as far as Wilder Fury, man, this is sick. It's going to happen. So I'm excited. And also, too, Linares this weekend. Linares, Devin Haney, I think. You know, this is a good fight. Let's see what happens, man. Devin Haney's this new kid. You know, he's trying to be the new Floyd. Let's see what he's about, man. And I still don't think he's right there yet. It's more of talk right now. But if he shuts out Linares and is able to put him away, then holy shit, bro, like, holy crap, like, you know what I mean? So, but as far as this fight, I'm rooting for my guy Linares, my Spanish brother, Venezuela, stand up. You know, hopefully he pulls off the upset. That's what I want. If anything, what I'm hoping for is that Linares makes it all 12 rounds healthy. So, you know what I mean? That's what I want. If that's a victory for me. But as far as that, don't have too much else to say. But also, before I get out of here, I want to shout out to John Jones, who has a new advisor, Richard Schaefer. This is crazy, bro. Like, this MMA boxing relationship. We all know Richard Schaefer. I think, you know, I think this is a interesting relationship, and I want to see what's going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think this is cool. I just saw the news today. I just want to talk about it real fast. But as far as that, yo, Chris, I don't have too much to say. I just want to thank you for having me on. It's always Viva Ropadope Radio and Viva Mexico, cabrones.
Yes, sir. I like how you still, played the anthem, win or lose. I was hoping that. I almost had a backup just in case. just to make sure it came on. So, yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate you calling in. It's kind of a weird, funky schedule today. So it is what it is. But, yeah, man, yeah, it'll be interesting. I really like, you know, what we got going on this weekend. Ubaldo and Donaire, good fight. Haney, Linares. You know, Linares is a guy that he looks the part. Like, when we talk about pads, you know, hitting pads and all that, it's this guy, like I said, part. He literally, like, there's he looks so good, you know, like, fighting. I mean, he's so smooth, he's this, he's that, you know. He's just, I mean, the dude is a stud, you know what I mean? Like, the way he looks, as far, not him, but, you know, excuse me, offensively speaking, the guy has the goods, obviously, right? It's crazy, because every loss he has, and trust me, if Haney doesn't stop him, boxing Twitter is going to go hard on this. He's 47-5. All five times he got stopped. He's got 29 stoppages himself. Of course, Venezuela. But the guy offensively is just so sound. I can't sit there and say, like, he's some sort of elite fighter, because obviously his defense isn't that good when push comes to shove. And you know, he's kind of a front runner in fights, Linares. I mean, the guy will just, like I said, his footwork, his hand speed, his combinations, it's picture perfect, but then he'll get hit and cut or whatever, or just get stopped and caught. You know, I mean, I think he did get a fight. Actually, I think it was before the pandemic. Now that I think about it, he did get a couple, I think a fight or two since he, you know, lost in the first round, TKO. And that was to Pablo Cesar Cano, I believe. Cano. I think that's, yeah, that's, actually, let me double check. Because it had been a while. Yeah, so he, okay, yep, I was right. He fought Carlos Morales and won by fourth round knockout February 14th on Valentine's Day. Okay, that was that one card. That's right. With Ryan Garcia. So that was 2020. That was his last fight. And he got a kind of a staple, a full-on stay busy one after that Canelo lost. He lost the first round, right? But, you know, he made it, what, to the 10th round? Yeah, 10th round after he got beat by Lomachenko, but had a, you know, a damn good run, dropped him in the sixth or whatever. So, you know, he did have that close fight with Campbell. It's hard to believe that was already 2017. He had those back-to-back wins, easy wins over Krolla, Anthony Krolla. And he had, you know, a nice little run there, the second part of his career after losing to Sergio Thompson. Via knockout is DeMarco. Then he lost early. Remember, he was doing some work on Cano. Or not Cano, but DeMarco. I mean, he was lighting him up. DeMarco stayed with it. And next thing you know, his eyes pop open, and it's just a mess, and he loses. You know what I mean? So, you know, the early rounds, you got, you know, that there's been two of them, right? Thompson and then this Cano. So, I mean, he's got to get past those early rounds. That's the key. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, Linares has got to definitely box on the outside. That's what he's best at. We all know that. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to have a reach, but it's not like Haney has a major reach on him either, though. You know what I mean? I think it's actually, let me check, 71-60. So it's not that major of a thing. I just think that coming forward, you know, making him come forward would be helpful. I guess that's the way I look at it. I think that would be helpful for him. I think that's kind of your best bet, you Because in the middle of the ring, although I think Linares, as long as he gets out of the first couple of rounds, could definitely, you know, land plenty and land those combinations and whatnot. Just at this point, you do get to the point where you're wondering what he has left. But, yeah, if Haney doesn't knock out Linares, which, you know, it's not like you could go into every fight and just be like, dude, you got to knock him out. You got to knock him out. You know what I mean? But in this one, it's like TKO, the guy cuts, he gets hurt in fights, like, you know, he is gonna receive some shit. I mean, he's a large favorite here. At the lowest I'm seeing is a plus 650 for Linares. Otherwise, it could be 716, 800, 700, 850, plus 675, plus... So plus 650, this is on ProBoxingOdds.com, by the way. A great place to go for boxing odds. A really, really great place. That's ProBoxingOdds.com because it sets you up with Bet365, Bovada, Bookmaker, BetNow, SportsBet. You know, it gives you a variety of odds all in one spot. So I think that makes it, you know, pretty cool. So, yeah, I like Haney. Is he going to TKO him? I'm not saying Haney can't knock him out straight up, but I'm seeing a TKO. I think he will. Man. Yeah, I think he will. I think TKO. I'll call it a TKO. I'll call for the TKO. I think that's going to happen. As you can tell, I'm not too confident about the TKO, but I do think Devin Haney will win. And then hopefully he gets a big fight coming up. I mean, I know he wants it, that's for sure. Hopefully he doesn't have to bring up Gary Russell from featherweight to get a big fight. No, but I don't know. I mean, we have heard a little chatter, you know, from the top-ranked side about Teofimo Lopez possibly. That would be phenomenal. But I'm not going to hold my breath. Because I want to live, you know what I mean? If I hold my breath, even if they make it, right? If I'm holding my breath until it announces, that's a long time from now. So, yeah, I got Devin Haney, late TKO. And then Ubali Donaire, I just like this fight. Obviously, Donaire, whether it's a lead left, a counter left, that's what he's going to be doing. He needs to use that distance and reach. He needs to, you know, be on the move, circle a lot, that step to the side, step to the back, little half-step counters, you know, and try to time them with those, not just counters, but, you know, during the exchanges, Ubali is susceptible to that. I mean, and if you look at it, like I mentioned earlier, 2019, you know, was his breakout year. You know, he had three fights. He beat Warren, Villanueva, and then Inoue. And he looked good doing it. You know, prior to that, he had fought some old vets like Julio Cesar Miranda and, like, you know, some old vets or whatever. But that's when he started stepping up to the plate. And he looked, like I said, he looked damn good doing it. So, and he hasn't fought yet. Both of them haven't fought in a long time. So he hasn't fought since November 7th, 2019. That's Ubali. And same time frame, actually, for, yeah. Forgot about that. It's exactly the same time frame. So, yeah, I totally forgot. They fought on the same date. So that part's even. You know what I mean? I guess it's like who's stayed in shape better, right? You know, I always think that a guy entering his, a young fighter or a guy in his prime, like new, kind of freshly in his prime, I guess you could say, I always think it's like more of a risk for that to be an issue with a long layoff than it is a veteran. And let me preference this. I forgot to say this. Like, there's not many vets that can, like, if a guy takes 2 or 3 years off, and he's older, sure, you know, on average, that's going to be tough. But when you have guys like Donaire, like a Pacquiao, like a Mayweather, and I'm not saying they all age the same there, right? But when have you seen Donaire out of shape? Like, have you seen too many videos or an interview where you're like, wow, that's Donaire? Damn, he really is partying in this offseason between camps, you know? It's all about if you can keep your body right, right? The mind and body, you know, goes hand in hand. And so my thing is the last fight he took punished, get me wrong, he obviously, look at Inoue's eye, right? He landed plenty of punches, but he took a lot of damage. And that knockdown was really weird. I remember that. It's in my head now. I think it was a body blow, right? And then he like kind of walked, looked like he was walking it off, and then took a knee, and it was over, right? Not right after that, but just in general. And I don't know, man. You know, I like this weight for him, though. You know, featherweight clearly too much for Donaire. And even 122 seemed a little too much, but better. And it's kind of interesting. Unlike Mayweather and Pacquiao, Donaire has really shown some drop-off there for a while. Some of that had to do with the weight class. Some of it had to do with the style. You know, when someone's trying to outbox him, it has gotten a little weird for him. If you look at that Frampton fight and some of the skills Frampton brings to the table. So Donaire's always had that. You know, we could call him an outside boxer, but he's not a busy one. You know, he's looking for a big freaking shot is what he's looking for. And there were times, you know, like when he was getting trained by Robert Garcia, remember we'd hear that they had these conversations on the phone, and that was like camp. It was like, wait a second. So you guys weren't in the same building training the whole time? But, of course, that happens from time to time. Your trainer, especially if you're with a, you know, a popular one, will be gone for the weekend or maybe gone for the week, you know, and you have the second and third in charge during camp and stuff like that. That happens. That's normal. But it got to the point where it's like, well, dude, you're not really having full camps at this point. What's going on? That's not a real training camp. So I guess I kind of forgot to mention that part, right? But the weight class is much better for him. And you know, even that fight, you know, that fight that he won, that oh boy got hurt, and you know, wasn't there back to back where dudes got hurt, or am I tripping? I think so. So it's like, I don't know. I'm a little up and down just because of his last fight. He did, you know, well, he didn't win it. Not that I thought he'd win it, but I don't know, man. Yeah, it was Burnett. And then it was Young, but that's not who it was supposed to be, right? Frampton beat him cleanly. Magdanello beat him cleanly. That Juarez fight was really, really close. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of was going a minorly downhill in a sense anyway. And I don't know, man. It's a tough one for Donaire. But anyway, on the side of Ubali, you know, he actually has, like, quick combinations. He has quick feet. He doesn't have a ton of head movement that he sticks to. When he's up close, sometimes he will put up that high guard, which, by the way, obviously means Donaire should aim for that, you know, body. But he does kind of leap in. He's very aggressive at times, and he can get caught with that counter. That's what I'm looking at there, leaping in, getting caught. Not really defensive sound, you know what I mean? He does have this little reset bounciness to him as before he darts in. And that's what I mean by he's not just face first per se, because he's not slow-footed, coming at you, just wanting to brawl, and that's it. He does have a little bounce in his step. He does reset, and then will dart back in. And he's got this snappy left hand, whether it's a straight left or a hook. he's a good fighter. He's a younger fighter. I think that plays into this, obviously. But, yeah, the younger fighter entering his prime with a long time off, I think that can affect you. You know, and this is kind of previewing Pacquiao Spence that we'll get to in a second. But I'm going to go with Ubaldo by decision. Something like 7-5, 8-4. I don't see Ubaldo, you know, destroying Donaire. Even in some of these fights, you know, of late, that, you know, even in his breakout year, you know, he has two long decisions. He does have a stoppage in there. But, yeah, I'm going to go Donaire. And he only has that one stoppage, right, Donaire? He's only been stopped once. Am I right on that? It was Walters, right? God, that was a while ago. 2014, sixth round. He was down the third and sixth. And that's where you could tell, okay, you know, Walters kind of popped up and then went away after that Lomachenko fight. But, yeah, I remember that Cesar Juarez fight, dude. The scorecards, you know, that was a harder fight. Some of these fights may not be, like, close on the scorecards, but it was a difficult fight for him. And the Magdanello, he got beat cleanly in that one. So, yeah, I'm going to go Ubaldo by decision and Devin Haney by late stoppage for the weekend. Should be a good fight, though. Should be a good fight, no doubt about it. So, obviously, you know, we had the Wilder Fury stuff. I'm not going to rehash too much of that, right, because we talked about that on the last episode. I did get a lot of feedback, some of it like, yeah, man. Others was like, what are you talking about? Why are you celebrating this fight being made? And it was, I don't know. So some of it's just like, really, dude? It's not celebrating. It's just when the media's feeding you just so much stuff. After a while, it's kind of like, yep. So what's up? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't really call that celebrating. You know what I mean? I really don't. But it was just a constant, you know, I think it was just a constant hearing about a fight that never happened. And it got close, obviously. I'm not trying to rip on Eddie all the way. But to, like I was saying earlier, the context, you must put this, the media must put stuff in context. So many times you hear nothing about it, even though it went from mediation to arbitration. The shit has been in arbitration for a long time. We're talking months. So the fact that it qualified for arbitration tells you it has something going on with it. And clearly that had to be decided. And so context of it, just be open and fair. And when you have Mannix, you know, when DAZN had some issues, because obviously their platform right now in the States is mostly boxing. So they had some issues like, huh, I wonder, you know, they had issues like people were trying to cancel it. People were trying to see if they could get a refund. People were trying to say, hey, for these couple months, can I do this? Some people were able to pause it. I was able to pause mine. Some people weren't. I had Roku, and that's where I had it, so I was able to pause it. But I know some people had problems with it. And if you fork down $100, it's a great deal for a year, right? But also, you know, if there's nothing on there, you know, besides, you know, there are old fights on there. I'm not saying there's nothing on there. And they do have a podcast now. But even like Mannix, my point is Mannix is making a big thing about people shitting on DAZN when it looked like they were having problems because they lost Canelo and they, you know, they had overpaid for all these fights. And then, like I said, they kind of didn't come back strong from the pandemic. So, yeah, some people on Twitter were shitting on him or whatever. But you saw Mannix just sitting there with this theme of, dude, you know, anyone that's freaking, you know, wishing for their demise and all that type of shit. You know, we read those tweets a while back. But it's funny, though, but when it came to Al Haymon and the PBC, every time one of those time buys would go away, the crumbling of the PBC and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's funny because in 2016, 2017, 2018, the PBC overall was making the best fights. It just, by the time 2016 kicked in, 17, 18, clearly Showtime was getting them. I mean, they did, what, two fights on CBS, right? Thurman and Porter and Thurman and Garcia. But, and there were some good fights on Fox, but the great fights were on Showtime. Instead of giving Al and Espinoza and Showtime and the fighters, whatever, all this credit, they were really talking about, oh, look at free boxing for all and this type of shit. And it's like, well, I mean, you were the one that, you know, is saying that the shit's crumbling and basically pumped about it, still asking, like, where's the investment money? Well, where's the money? You know, there's a lot of wasted money at the zone, too. So it's just being straight up about it. That's all. Just don't play sides. If you know, all these reporters were sitting there saying, oh, step aside, he's ruining it. Wilder ruined this. It's like, what are you talking about? Anyway, this is a little, the Chief, Macho Grande One, had this little thing here that I'm going to play of Eddie Hearn in the announcement.
So, but I've told everyone all along, the fight's happening. I love you. Is the fight happening?
To the best of my knowledge, from what I was hearing tonight, I would say absolutely yes.
I told you. It's really close to official announcement time. I will tell you, it's 100% being announced this week. Well, I mean, it'd be amazing to announce on Saturday, right? You know, when I do the announcement, and wouldn't it be great to do it maybe even in the ring on Sunday? You know, a lot of people think we're going to announce on Saturday. We might. Love to announce next week. I want to announce next week. I believe we announce this fight next week. Say, by the end of next week, yeah? Because I will have some good news very soon. And we're on the verge. I'll give you that. We're on the verge. We're on the verge now of getting this fight done. It is on the doorstep. Ready.
That was Warrington Lara, too. I saw the poster at the back.
You know, stand by for the announcement on that and the official announcement now, and that will be very soon. Stand by. I believe we're super close now to getting this done. That fight is done, and you'll get an announcement very soon. The only chance this fight has is if I pull something off. And I'm not having a pop at the other people, but I think I'm the only one capable of pulling it off. I've done 99% of the work here because I've done the whole thing. I don't want a medal or pats on the back, but I've done the whole thing. So,
is that, like, why is...
Ability. Take every obstacle, every hurdle head on, and I'm going to overcome everyone. I'm going to get it made. Very confident this fight happens. We're done. Well, should we have it?
So there is just a nice little stringed out clip that I thought was pretty funny. And, you know, Eddie Hearn was trying to make this thing, no doubt about it. You do got to give him credit in a lot of ways. So it really, you know, I mean, oh, shoot, my bad. And by the way, a lot of it was IFL TV, but my thing is, it's like, because, you know, they were listening to Bob. They were listening to Bob. And Bob said, I mean, Bob's a lawyer. So, you know, Bob said this, said that. And we finally got some more Eddie Hearn stuff. This is from an IFL TV interview about him talking to Bob about the situation when, you know, the arbiter decided.
I said, Bob. And he went, oh, you're not going to believe it. Can't believe it. Just a ridiculous decision. We lost the arbitration. Can't believe it. I mean, so I said, what the fuck's going on? And he said, I know. I just, no one saw this coming. I mean, they didn't even ask for the rematch. You know, they asked for damages and, you know, so what are you going to do about it? And he said, nothing. I said, well, what's your next move? And he went, we're fighting Wilder.
And that is a kick in the ass to Eddie. Like I said, Eddie, I don't like his style of negotiation in the public. He tries to get the upper hand, and I get that part of it, but I think he does more damage than good a lot of the times. But in this scenario, he did whatever the money was, you know, whatever it is, he did work his ass off over this time. I just, like I said, the constant updates is what the problem for me was. After a while, you're like, dude, and the whole back and forth with the Wilder Joshua stuff in the summer of, what, 2018, you know, he was the guy offering him $5 million, then 7.5, then 10, then 12, then all this stuff, right? But then when the offer came, the official offer came through the zone, it was $40 million to fight. You know what I mean? So he was trying to shortchange it the whole time, really. I mean, if we're being honest, because a lot of times by the time it was up into the eight figures, the you know, the 10s and the 12s and the 15s and the 17.5, Eddie already knew, he had already announced the deal with the zone and all that. So he was screwing him. I mean, clearly, you could say what's the worth and what's not. You're worth what you're getting paid. And no, Wilder, like many other people, aren't worth $40 million, but, you know, per se, right, for that fight. But it is because that's what they were going to pay. Here's a little bit more.
Hold on. I said, there's got to be a deal to be done. I said, you got to try something. Oh, look, they're not going to be interested in that. We're just going to fight Wilder, and then, you know, we can do our fight later. He said, but look, I'm talking to everyone later. Let me come back to you. I was like, shell-shocked at the time, so put the phone down. I thought to myself, I have spent 5 months of my life being told that I can't do something, right? And I've worked, I haven't given up, and we've done it. And you have told me all along that this arbitration process will have absolutely no bearing on AJ against Fury.
And obviously, you know, even, you know, I'm sure he could have some lawyers in the U.S. I don't know if he does, but I'm sure he could. The reason why I say that is because, like, you know, it just, for him to think that there's no way, obviously in the, you know, Fury and Joshua went back and forth. And Fury said you guys knew that this was a possibility the whole time. But it is kind of weird that Hearn didn't know a little bit more about it. Maybe they just thought, we'll pay him off. We'll get it. And he goes on further in that interview. I won't play too much more of that. I'm not going to. But IFL TV, by the way, for the credit. I don't know. The reason why I bring up lawyers is because, like, it just seems like to get advice just from Bob, it just seems like, huh, are you sure that's the only, you know? And, you know, it's not like anybody had a for sure answer when it came to this, right? Clearly, nobody had a for sure answer. Nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, we talked about it last week, how the week before, Jake Donovan and I from BoxingScene.com, we both thought they would rule in favor. Now, whether that was money or what, I didn't actually think that you'd, I thought it would be money. For sure, you'd have to fight him. I wasn't sold on that 100%, but it was a very valid arbitration, you know, and for Bob to now just say, what the hell? And so now it's like the media, you know, goes the other way with it. It's like, oh, I can't, but this is a horrible decision, but it is what it is. We got to deal with it. And clearly, they knew that this was a possibility. Obviously, they were in arbitration. I believe, didn't they have to go to court and talk about it? Like, some sort of deposition? I don't remember that, but I think so. And, you know, clearly this was potentially happening. I mean, he was training in Vegas. Maybe he'll always train in Vegas, and that's fair. But if you're going to be in the Middle East, I think you could probably, I don't know. I wonder about that. But maybe he'll just, you know, train in Vegas the whole time from here on out. He said that he wants to fight here, but I'm sure he would go, you know, to Saudi Arabia or wherever if it's huge, huge money. But I just, like I said, it's really the media now to turn it all the blame on Wilder. Well, why don't you blame Bob and Fury? That's where it should be. But anyway, so it does look like that's going to happen July 24th in Vegas. It looks like they're going to put it in that stadium, that new stadium, which would be pretty dope. And it looks like it's going to be pretty far up on capacity. Let's see. Vegas dropping its COVID mitigation regulation June 1st means the stadium should be ready for full capacity between 65,000 and 72 for the bout. And it did a huge number, as we know, at the gate, damn near $17 million. That's a freaking huge gate. You know what I mean? Huge gate. So we'll see. You know, hopefully the UK fight fans can come over this summer, because that will only make it, you know, that much better. But yeah, I mean, you know, I get the people that are disappointed that they're not seeing that fight, but I think people would be less disappointed if they weren't, you know, if there wasn't more to it. You know what I'm saying? Like if they weren't led astray by the media, not just Bob and whatnot, but the media played into it. But as far as the Pacquiao-Spence, August 21st in Vegas, some people are saying, why isn't it Cowboy Stadium? Maybe it's because it's too close to the start of the season. I did hear that they're not necessarily although maybe because of the pandemic and, you know, all the fans they missed out on last year, maybe that extra revenue they would be interested in. But before, during football season, they didn't want to do a fight, which, you know, makes sense. Because they're Saturday nights, and a lot of times it's a Sunday. You got half your games at home halfway away, though. So, but I don't know. That's kind of been what they've said. We'll see, though. You know, we'll see. But this makes sense. It'll be full capacity again. Pacquiao, I think it's been like 16 fights or something at the MGM. I thought I saw some tweet. That's a lot, right? Him and Broner and him and Thurman, I think both did right in that $6 million range. I expect at least $8 to $10 million, I'd say. We'll see. You know, like I said, we'll see how Fox, you know, does this. But Pacquiao and Spence, dude, that came out of left field. And as I mentioned earlier, I always wanted either Crawford or Pacquiao to get it. I'm not just happy for Spence now. I was even calling for Lomachenko at 40. I remember that a few years ago. So I like it a lot. I like this fight a lot. We're going to see which one's bigger, the rematch between Fury and Wilder or this one. It's kind of interesting because if you look at the gate, you know, based off even, say, Thurman and Pacquiao, right? And that one, I mean, that did, what, 10 more or 11 million more, 10 million more or something like that? So we'll see how that goes. And the stadium feel, you know, that's going to be interesting, too, about the Wilder Fury. But anyway, back to Pacquiao Spence. I really like the matchup. Like I said, we all know that clearly the torch is not lit as brightly, right? We know that. I'm not saying it's Pacquiao and, you know, Pacquiao against Oscar or Floyd against Oscar reincarnated, right? It's like, oh, my God, this is it, dude. This is going to blow Spence up, but it will blow him up. Just being in the same sentence, having the same marketing with them. Just the whole thing, and obviously he's got to win the fight. But I like the fight a lot, man. I do like the fight a lot. Pacquiao will have been off for 2 years when this fight goes. And kind of like I was saying, Donaire, Pacquiao and Mayweather, really. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm trying to think of people that took long layoffs and were able to come back. This, I believe, would be the longest for Pacquiao of his career, though. But had it been 10 or 15 years ago, because remember, Pacquiao, when he was younger, he would stay up all night and gamble and drink with his friends and hang out. He admits to it, right? And then, you know, he had some moments in his life that he wasn't happy with his behavior, and he turned it around, and obviously now he's a senator in the Philippines. And we hear like next year he's going to try to run for presidency. I don't know if that's true yet or not, but he definitely needs some money to do that. He probably needs money to get reelected too, either way. Although I think he's pretty much assuring for reelection anyway, but, you know, when he has a full camp, that's usually been the biggest thing. Cause remember when he was fighting in Macau and that type of thing, like, there would be some camps where it was like, I'm you know, being a center during the day and training at night. And he, there was the Horn fight he underlooked. I think he won the fight, but I think he overlooked it, not underlooked it. He overlooked it. Don't get me wrong. There was some fights where you're like, I don't know, you know. But if you look at late, I think there was the, I think he fought three times in a year. He fought Matisse in a July. This would be July 18. Then he fought Broner. Yep, Broner in January. Then he fought the next year, 19, and then Thurman July 19. So, yeah, it'll be over 2 years. 2 years and a month and change. But so that was three. I remember him talking about the three fights in a year. It's probably a little pushing it a little bit at this point. And but just having that time where he has a full camp and then he comes here with like 4 or 6 weeks left. So he's not coming here late either. So he's literally getting the full Freddie Roach camp. And even if he starts the early part of camp over in the Philippines and then finishes strong for 6 weeks here or whatever, you've always seen the difference there, right? And, you know, Broner's Broner. Tisay obviously passed his prime. But when you look at Thurman, sure, Thurman, you know, had only had one fight in a while, but against Jose Cito Lopez, which he dominated except for those couple rounds, especially that one round where he got hurt really bad. But Pacquiao looked super fast. He's always going to be fast, but you know what I mean. He looked really – it was a throw – he looked great against Thurman. Definitely a throwback type of performance. And even the Matisse and Broner fight, he had some throwback to him. So, you know, I'll say this, though. I had that more competitive than some people. There's actually someone online that is always like, dude, how could you see that as a close fight? I'm like, what? How could you not? So it's 9-3 to you, huh? I didn't see that part. I saw a 7-5 fight, saw a knockdown early, saw a really good fight. I mean, let's be honest, though. He did, Pacquiao took a decent amount of damage in that fight, though. I mean, you know, Thurman had, you know, long stretches in that fight where he was landing the better shot, cleaner shot. And I remember Pacquiao walking to the post-presser maybe after the fight, talking to Keith Thurman's dad. He's like, dude, you got a tough son and all that, right? Like, you could tell, I'm not saying Thurman took something out of him, so he's not going to be as good as Steph, but the time off, I think, will help. Now, 2 years, you know, 1 year, like not fighting till the next summer, which it seemed like that was what was going to happen. Speaking of July 2019 to July 2020, obviously we know why there wasn't a big fight then, but I thought that year would have been good for him. Now, 2 years, that's where you get the borderline stuff. You don't quite know. But for Pacquiao, who plays basketball, who's active, like I said, he doesn't have the same lifestyle as he was. I don't think it's as big a deal. Most old vets like this, yeah, dude, you're done, right? I mean, Bernard Hopkins would have some time off and look good, but I don't think he took 2 years off. We mentioned Mayweather. I mentioned Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm trying to think of, like, boxers that took a long time. There's just not many as they age, you know what I mean, that can look good. So I trust him for that. Another thing that goes into this, but it's not ideal. I think anybody that thinks this is ideal is just ridiculous. It's not ideal for having 2 years off, though, just because he's not like a counter puncher all the time or looks to be super sharp. You need your rhythm. You need your sharpness, no matter what kind of fighter you are. But here's why I think that it's not as big of a deal. But more to that, Spence has not been active either. If you think about it, July 2019, September 2019, 2 months later, Spence fought Porter. And then he didn't fight until this last December. And look at it. What was that? December 5th, I believe, was the day, first week in December. So December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. That's 8 months there plus the 3 weeks, right? Whatever. So he's now taken another 8 months out after being out for like 14 months or 15. He's fought once since 2019 September. So he hasn't been a beacon of activity himself. So that's where I kind of think, man, he's only had one fight, and now he's got another 8 months off. And remember when he took a break, it was, I think it was like a 9 month break for waiting for Kell Brook. He said those first couple rounds were, you know, were a little shaky. Like he didn't, he was rusty, I should say, not shaky, but rusty. So I think that plays into it. I mean, you're talking August 21st, yeah. So it's basically like damn near one fight in 23 months. That's not activity, and this is a guy who's in his prime. So, you know, which I think in this scenario could affect Spence as well. You know, Pacquiao, we'll see. But either way, what I like about it is we heard a little rumor, and then a few weeks later, boom, it was announced. You know, it wasn't this dragged-out process. They weren't negotiating in the media. We had heard rumors that Pacquiao was done with his contract, but they don't know. And this part, you know, Pacquiao's got a larger team and too many representatives, you know, or former representatives like Michael Kahns, who came up with this almost like a Ponzi scheme type thing that fell through. You know what I mean? So sometimes there's just a lot of voices out of Pacquiao's camp, and it's been there for a while. Go back and look at the Mayweather-Pacquiao, that first, you know, the drug testing thing, and look at a couple different things that his camp said that was really like, wow, dude, you're going to say that about Manny? That's messed up because that's – you can't say he's afraid of needles, you know, that type of thing. But anyway – I like the fight a lot. I understand the odds are pretty high right now. But Pacquiao's a damn, like, there's not many guys that can look good like this late. I listed a couple of them, but his hand speed, just alone his hand speed. But, yeah, I see, like, the lowest I see him on ProBoxingOdds.com, the lowest I see him is a plus 325. And it can go all the way up to plus 415. I think that's the highest I see right now. It does seem like those are – it opened and then it's already come down a little bit. Not a ton, though. But, yeah, minus 625 is the highest that I see, too, I think. Spence. But Spence is going to get hit in this fight. You know, the hand speed, the angles, a southpaw style, southpaw against southpaw. And it's funny, you know, I kind of lost track of the southpaw when it came to Manny, right? And I had kind of forgotten he actually hasn't faced a southpaw in a long, long time. And someone put in a boxing forum? Manny hasn't fought a southpaw in 13 years. It was David Diaz. He says in 2008. It was right after the Juan Manuel Marquez rematch that a lot of people thought Marquez won. And it's funny, when you look at that fight, that was at 35 because he went from 30 to 35, then jumped up later that year and fought Oscar. But when you look at that performance, I understand – you know, David Diaz is a limited world-level guy, right? I'm not going to sit there and overboard it, you know. But he was really funny. Now I'm thinking about it. He was funny as hell in that post-pressure, too, dude. Because he was like, holy shit, but he has fast hands. But it was probably one of the most complete performances of his career. I know it's not Cotto and Barrera and Morales and all that, right? But this dude was on point. That was one of his most dominant performances. I think Holyfield and what's-his-name was on the undercard, and I'm pretty sure Jason Litzau from St. Paul, Minnesota, I believe he was on the other card too, because I remember watching it, brother and my dad, when we were, I think it was in the summer, yeah. So anyway, so that has been a long time since he hasn't fought a southpaw. Kind of lost track of that, like I mentioned. But I like the fight a lot. I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. I don't see Spence just whitewashing him. I I mean, he didn't knock out Danny Garcia. Not that anyone knocks out Danny Garcia, but he got hit with some hard shots. And obviously the Porter fight, the Kell Brook fight was 4-4 after 8-1 likely, or 5-3, whatever. This is going to be a good fight. I think Spence will probably find his range. I don't know if he'll come out range-finding, though. I don't know if he'll be looking like he did against Mikey, where he's jabbing and using his reach. But he may have to resort to that or kind of resort to what he did with Porter, where he would do those little step-back counters, especially with the left hook. But nobody, you know, he's not going to beat him the way Floyd did. You know what I mean? Because Spence doesn't fight that exact way. Now, he's more skilled than you think. But as he showed, and he has the reach, and he's got fundamentals. But once he gets clipped, you know, I don't know. I just think that stylistically, this is going to be a blast. I really think that. And I think Spence will be looking to, once he feels, if he can take Manny's power, I think he'll brawl more in the fight. Not more than he did with Porter, but I'm saying, you know, the first couple rounds, you know, I could see him jabbing and looking for distance and look at that. Or maybe he'll do that later. I don't know. But I'm excited about the matchup. Even, you know, even in that Garcia fight, once he found that he was winning the fight easily, then he did push forward. And he even admitted he showed too much respect. He believed the hype about not being able to outbox Mikey, so he didn't go full board for a while. Had he invested earlier in some of that body work, maybe he would have gotten Mikey out there. But anyway, Pacquiao Spence, August 21st, Fox pay-per-view, big-time fight. Big-time fight. Really excited about this fight. We've had a great May. We got one more weekend to go of May. It looks like it's going to go out with a bang with Ubaldi, Donaire, Haney, and Jorge Linares. There are some undercard fights, you know, on the card. Actually, the closest match fight in the weekend is that Matias fight. It's close. Minus 105. Yeah, they're both minuses. One has like a plus 105, plus 100. I mean, that fight is close, you know, really close. Some people are really high in this Jukumbayev, I think his name is, 18-0, 14 KOs, seen him fight a couple, you know, like twice. This is a big step up if you look at who he's gone against. Some decent vets, but Miguel Vasquez being one of them. That was a while back, too. But Cibrel, Matias? I think it's Matias. I mean, this is an even fight. This is a pick'em type fight. He's obviously Matias coming off that Hawkins win, but he did get upset last year as well. And I remember him in that prospect fight with Dadashiev, whatever his name was, Maxim Dadashiev. A lot of people were high on that guy, too. He beat him. So I like that fight. I really have to look a little bit more in detail at who's going to win that fight. That is going to be a competitive fight. And then who else fights? Isn't it Gary Russell? Gary Antoine Russell? Yeah, he fights on. Yeah. Gary Antoine Russell against Santiago. Was it Giovanni? Didn't Santiago, isn't that the same Santiago that Broner fought? Am I tripping with that? I think that's it, right? I think so. I believe that's it. Let me double check on that. That is it, right? The Santiago? I think so. Yeah, it is. He quote unquote won. Hey, there's a guy that he takes 2 years off and he looks sharp. Just kidding, of course. Yeah, the live stream is about to cut off. 646-381-4990 is the number to dial. Kind of a weird show today as far as the timing on a Wednesday day, but like I said, life gets in the way sometimes. So what's this mean for Fox? I mean, they were already on the hook for a while, their fight, as far as they fought, anyway. their side of it, as far as a guarantee and some marketing or whatever, right, for the fight. It will be interesting to see, though, ESPN's the broadcaster, and obviously it's pay-per-view, but they control the broadcast or whatever. So you wonder, you know, you wonder how much Fox is going to go for it or not, or, you know. I'm assuming that we'll probably see a commercial during the All-Star game in July. I wouldn't doubt if we see one for Spence Pacquiao, too, as well. You know, they do have baseball and soccer and a variety of things, you know, to promote. We'll see on that. But as far as Fox, that's a major investment, like I mentioned earlier. Wilder takes some money. Pacquiao, I mean, his guarantee, you know, was rumored at like $10 million for Thurman all the way up to 20 and beyond. I know that, you know, he gets a good chunk of the gate, so that helps. And obviously, Vegas is paying to have the fight there, so that helps. But Pacquiao, Spence, and Wilder, that's a chunk of change right there, right? So if some of the rumors that they were talking about that Fox is going to be done with PBC, is it a cut and run? You know, like, or wouldn't it be a cut and run? Like, why would they be like, hey, we're already, you know, legally binding for this Wilder fight, but would they invest Pacquiao Spence money? I mean, nobody really knows exactly what those pay-per-views are going to be, right? It could be 600, 700,000. It could be more. You know, I don't think it'll be less than, I think Pacquiao Thurman did what, 500,000, 550? I don't think it hit over 600. If I remember correctly, it was a little while ago, but I think it was like 550 or 500 or something like that. So I expected to do more than that. But either way, it's a large investment. And, you know, there is a date, June 27th. Hopefully, I think it's a Fox show. Hopefully it's from the Armory right here. And we're about to start to open up. Actually, the bar I work at, the Smokehouse and Brewery, actually, we go full capacity this Friday, right before the holiday weekend. And, you know, getting out of town, up north, as we call it, the cabin country and all that type of shit, outdoors. It's big for them up north, man. It is huge to have full capacity. I got to admit, though, once you leave, like, half of the suburbs, this shit was full capacity anyway. you just wonder, because obviously it's been subpar since the COVID hit. You could see on their budget. I did a long-winded segment. I won't go into it too much here, obviously, but that was the rumor that, no, they're done this year. And Coppinger came on the fourth year's an option. That's kind of a weird. We got a three-year deal with the fourth year an option. You'd think it'd be an option to extend a couple years. Remember with DAZN, it was like, what, 2 or 4 years and the extend? You know, it seems like we got an option for 1 year. Seems a little funky. I'm not saying it's not possible, that's for sure. But it just seems like you'd think the extension would be an extension. So, well, we won't go for one more year. It just kind of seems like weird. And maybe there is an extension, and it's more than that 1 year, but the fourth year's not guaranteed. And it's like, it's almost like a team option, like it's sports, a player option, team option for a last year. Maybe once you activate that option, it extends the contract a few years. I have no clue, but it's a major investment that's going to take some marketing, major marketing. And some of the fights that have been discussed, obviously, Morrell, John Ryder, David Morrell, and John Ryder is a fight that's done. I'm hoping that's the main event on Fox at the Armory, June 27th. That's what I'm hoping. I have yet to get the go-ahead. Usually I get it a couple of days before the announcement, sometimes a couple of weeks before. Obviously, this is a little bit different of a scenario, but I'm actually checking my emails right now. But I have not gotten any kind of email or text saying, hey, you know, release this information, yada, yada, yada. So, and I'm talking about some local folks tied to, you know, the booking and the, you know, the media stuff when it comes to the Armory and Target Center and stuff like that. So I have yet to see anything like that, but I know before the pandemic, there was actually all four, because they had done a four-event deal with them per year, and all four of them were supposed to be on Fox, with maybe one of them be on FS1, but pretty sure it was going to be all four on Fox, which makes sense, because you can bring a variety of type of fighters there from all different backgrounds, and as long as you attach a Minnesota fighter, and sometimes not even, you're still going to get a decent crowd, and it's going to look good for TV. But yeah, I mean, Morrell, you know, he's not from here per se, but he trains out of here, and he had a good performance in his last fight. So John Ryder, Morrell could be one. That would be dope. Obviously, you hear about Sean Porter, Thurman. Well, they weren't in the schedule for Showtime, so clearly, you know, Jamal James against Thurman, Jamal James against Sean Porter. I could actually see that. And there is talks about Ugas and Thurman. Ugas and Thurman would be phenomenal. But yeah, Jamal James against Porter. I think Porter actually said that that's one of the guys he was looking at. I think I'll go over that in a little bit. He had a little list of the guys he was actually, here it is. Jamal James, of course, the WBA regular. Keith Thurman, Mikey Garcia. Those are three names that I will share out of the five. So he's been given five names. But Porter against James on Fox Armory. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. I like that fight. But I don't know. Does Thurman, is Thurman want to come against Ugas? Come back. Pause. Come back against Ugas? That'd be a big Fox fight, you know. Hellenius and Koznoski, the rematch. Sign me up for that as well. I wonder when the... Well, you know what? The Barclays should be open pretty heavy, dude, because... The Knicks, dude, the Knicks are like 90% open, I think, or 75%. They had the most fans yet. I think they had 15,000 fans for their playoff game that they lost. No, I actually like the Knicks in this scenario because they got Rose, who went off for 50 and was a nice spark plug for my Timberwolves, and obviously Tibbs. A lot of the local media ran him out of town, and now look at Tibbs. He was second in voting for the fight of the year. But what does that mean for Fox? I think we'll get a better look at it once they start announcing a schedule. And 2 weeks ago, we had Jake Donovan on, like I mentioned. He said that they're really close to announcing a schedule. So if they come back with Jamal James and Porter and Morrell and Ryder, I mean, you'd think they'd split that up, the James fight and the Morrell fight, but maybe not. But you'd think about it so they could both be main events. But who knows? Maybe that'd be a hell of a doubleheader. But that we'll get a real good feel, and we mentioned this, we'll get a real good feel of where Fox is and PBC and their arrangement with these boxing or their fight announcements. But you know, when you look at the Wilder guarantee, like I said, at Pacquiao and Spence, I don't know, man. It looks like, doesn't look like they're going anywhere right now with that kind of investment. But maybe they're, you know, who knows? Who the fuck knows? Anyway, yeah, so we'll just go a little boxing Twitter. Actually, you know what? Ooh, 651. 5-1, you're the only 651 on there. I'm going to go ahead and go to you if you want to talk. 651. That's a local Minnesota number. You're on with Ropadope Radio. What's going on, man? 651. Maybe he's on mute. Okay. I'm not sure. Maybe he just was listening. That's cool, too. A lot of people just listen, so that's fine. You know, if you press 1, it makes me think that you want to talk. But if not, that's cool. You don't have to, oh, and he hung up, or she. My bad. I mean, I was just unmuting you, but it's all good. So press one, anybody on right now, press one that wants to join in, give their take, go for it. Otherwise, I'm going to kind of go through the boxing Twitter segment, of course. And actually, somebody just sent me this. Oh, yeah, it was when I was talking about the Wilder stuff with Joshua. He says, I'll offer you, this is the IFL TV video, the title of it, Deontay Wilder, this is Eddie Hearn, I'll offer you any fight for $5 million and $15 for Joshua. Sign the contract. And that's what I mean. Like, that's why you don't want to get, you don't want to just listen to these guys the whole time. Because think about it, dude. He went from 5 to 7.5 to 10, all the way up to, like, did they get to 20? I'm not sure if they did. Last I heard, it was like 17.5 or whatever. But when he's offering these fights, like that date, what I just was going at, that was in the summer of 2018. So he had already announced this billion-dollar deal. And then when they sat down with DAZN, it was $40 million. So this dude was, you know, shortchanging him. Even though it didn't feel like he was shortchanging him, I'll admit that while it's going on. But when you look at it at the end of the day, you know, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of funny. Kind of funny. All right, so we're going to go over fight news in our boxing Twitter segment, and then we're going to shut this puppy down. Mike Rivera and John Fernandez as the co-feature, I think it's the co-feature, on Gamboa and Chris Colbert. I like that fight. That's a good fight. That was Coppinger. Eddie Hearn, this is IFL TV. Eddie Hearn has stated Usyk is the most likely next opponent for Anthony Joshua, August 21st or August 28th, possibly Wembley or Spurs Stadium. Other options include Dillian White in the UK, a UK rematch, or a trilogy with Andy Ruiz. That's kind of a surprise. Looks like Matchroom USA won the purse bid for the Akhmadaliev in Rios purse bid. I think Golden Boy came with like $505,000, and Matchroom Boxing came with $525,555. The tentative date is August 21st. Interesting. Three possibilities: New York, LA, and Uzbekistan. Oh, interesting. Sorry, Ronnie Rios, but it's a decent fight, right? This is actually Bob talking about the Crawford stuff. This is from The Athletic. He has an idea, Bob Arum, of before the fight, he likes the idea of placing Crawford and Taylor fight in the UK when Crawford's past struggle, where Crawford's past struggle to draw major numbers would be remedied by the support for Taylor. We'll look for whoever the best guy is to put him in with, Arum said. We could make a big fight for Crawford against Porter, but who's going to pay for it? There's a limit to what we can get out of ESPN, and on pay-per-view, I have no confidence that it's going to do a big number. Crawford never's done anything on pay-per-view, nothing against him. It is what it is. I think this is another one he said, Arum. I think Josh wants to go up to 147 and fight Crawford. Do we have any more fight news stuff? Oh, it was funny when Spence, because, you know, when Spence put it on Instagram after Manny, because they left it to Manny to announce it, and he said, done deal, see y'all in Vegas for the biggest fight of the year, hashtag man down, hashtag Spence Pacquiao, hashtag strap season, hashtag big fish, and this is funny, hashtag blame Bob. And that was funny, dude, because, man, wow. Oh, this is Jake Paul, because Jake Paul, we talked about that live last week when that news came through. Jake Paul signed with Showtime, multi-fight deal. In the media business, they say content is king. In the fight business, fighters are the content. So we are the kings. Make sure you're getting paid like a king, new fight announcement coming soon. Interesting. Not really, but hey, whatever. But that's a good look for Showtime, who's out of business. That is a good look for Showtime, though. Many won't, this is boxing Twitter stuff. This is Coppinger. Many won't agree with this, but there's no doubt that commercially, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence is far bigger than Spence and Crawford. Pacquiao is a living legend and household name. Monster pay-per-view. I agree it would do bigger. This is funny. This is from John. Waiting on an announcement from Ring that their number one Spence versus number three Pacquiao will be for a welterweight championship. And the reason why that's funny, anybody paying attention, when either an injury that keeps the fighter out for a while or they can't make the fight because of business, the politics, when that number two is either injured or they can't make the number two, right? They just can't make the one and two. They've done the one and three prior to this. They were going to actually do it, I think, for Zhu Khan in Warrington over Gary Russell. They did it for Jorge Linares against Anthony Crawla for 1-3. They skipped old boy who Mikey knocked out. So, yeah, man. Well, that fight can't be made. We've been talking about it for a couple years. That can't be made, even though it hasn't even been fully negotiated. But it can't be made. So why don't where's this fight? Why couldn't this fight be that? Somebody actually messaged me a while ago with this one. Bud gonna cry in the car. Yeah, Bud's gotta be pretty freaking mad right now. Boxing media, boxer these days only care about money, not legacy. Also boxing media. Take the step aside money, idiot. Yeah, see, isn't that funny? That's funny. People still trying to find a way for Fury to get out of a legally binding agreement after he already tried to get out of a legally binding agreement for the good of boxing. So now breaking contracts is good for boxing. Do you people think before you tweet? I think they do. The Wilder is a duck talk, please. He fought Ortiz twice. I thought he was losing both times. Thought he lost Fury and gave him the rematch. Could have easily said, boy, I got lucky in the first fight and moved on, but he didn't. Ran it back, and he was going to fight Povetkin in Russia. Yeah, it's like, come on, guys. You cannot like him. That's cool. But come on, dude. Like, okay, I'm so sick of boxing. This is Boxing Australia. I remember this guy didn't respond to me, but I'm so sick of boxing. His wins, he wins the arbitration only to get killed again in the third fight. What's the point? He's just a bitter fucking piece of shit who does not really care about boxing. He cares about himself. Fuck boxing. Fuck Warren. Fuck Aram. Eddie works his ass off for nothing. He got a lot of hits for this. He didn't care about boxing. It's Wilder's fight. There's a lot of stuff to say about Wilder and his excuses. But this shit is just funny when it comes to this other stuff. Okay, so here's the difference, right? This is Montero talking about March 31st, 2021. Bud versus Pac is the rumor today. If Pacquiao does fight Crawford this summer, at almost 43 years old, 2 years after taking Thurman's O, that would put him in very rare company. Hashtag Pacquiao Crawford, hashtag boxing, and hashtag Montero, right? Cool. That's a fair tweet. Then he turns around and retweets this once the Spence and Pacquiao stuff came out. Spence versus a 42-year-old shell of Manny Pacquiao instead of unification bout versus Crawford, who's still in his prime. This sport is getting harder to defend by the day. He retweeted that. Oh, so it's a little different. Weird. It's a little different when a top-ranked fighter, Crawford, is going to fight Pacquiao. But it's not. But this is a problem now. Okay. Gotcha, man. Gotcha. Here's another one. Boxing in 2021. A small group of people are celebrating that the biggest fight in 20 years is dead. We're in fight week for the best matchup post-outbreak, which I think Lomachenko and Teofimo was the best matchup post-outbreak. And everybody's talking about an arbitration ruling. First of all, it was the other way around. You'd be doing the same shit. But look at that. The biggest fight in 20 – so AJ and Fury was the biggest fight in 20 years. We talk about anti-PBC and anti-Al Heyman. You can't even admit – you can't even admit that Pacquiao – and forget the McGregor fight. Pacquiao and Floyd wasn't the – come on, dog. And I'm sure it would be like, yeah, but worldwide, bro, the numbers, the analytics – waiting for all those guys with Triller affiliate links to put up polls asking people, will they buy Teofimo's pay-per-view now that it's bumped up $10? You know, like they did for Charlo. Yeah, they bumped up. They bumped it up to 60 instead of 50 now. Oh, boy. Okay, somebody sent me something here. Okay, I actually do know this. Okay, real quick. Then we'll shut it down. Okay, I do know this. This is, I forgot I was going to do this. This is Bernie the Boxer. I thought it was Benny for some reason. I think that's a cooler name, maybe. I don't know. But this is Team Crawford, not Crawford, okay? Now, this video's still up, so he hasn't, you know, hold on. He hasn't turned this off. So here we go. This is him, Team Crawford, talking about what's up.
Man, come on. Y'all tell me. Shock me. We was in the gym and heard it. We was in the gym and heard it.
Talking Pacquiao
Spence. We was in the gym, huh? It's all over, huh? They packaged it up, got the place, everything already settled, huh? That's what they say. Even the ESPN said it. Flemmies, what's happening? TMS, what's up? Brodax, yeah. Mike Brown. Man, come on. Carlos J. Yeah, man. Hey, listen. That's the hottest news on, right? Carlos J. said that Stark kicked this shit off. Carlos J. says, how did Spence get the pack fight? Well, like I was saying earlier, you know, they've been wanting to duck Bud for the beginning, and I guess they are sticking to their guns like he said. He said he wants to do that in that after the Mo fight, right? He said that, and he even mentioned Pacquiao. So I guess now it's...
Yeah, and he did. And it is true. Spence did say that he was going to run through his side and then fight him, Robert.
The fruition in... You know, so it ain't no surprise to us, really. You know, we already knew that they got it against us. Like I said, you got Bob Arum against us. So you got a powerful white man against you. You got a powerful black man against you. You know, they trying to blackball the kid for whatever reason. But like I say, at the end.
So they're going with, and I'm not saying this is Terrence Crawford, okay? I am not. This is Team Crawford, but it's not Terrence Crawford. Let's put that out there. But he hasn't. This video's still up. Video's still up. He put it out May 21st. So the new thing is they're blackballing Arum and Heyman, even though he re-signed with Bob. And if he re-signs again with Bob, then I wouldn't doubt if he's in a weird scenario right now where to be able to get maybe a Taylor fight, he'd have to extend. I'm sure that's – I don't know, though. I wouldn't doubt it though, because that's not just box. You know, that's a top rank thing. But you know, we've heard that with other stuff too. And I get it, right? But if so, that's what it is. So Al Heyman's blackballing you, even though you won't take 60-40, and you've even said stuff out of your mouth that it shouldn't even be 50-50. He's the A side because of winning belts at different, you know. Because he beat Paul Stahl and Gamboa. That's his top two wins. So, to me, like I said, I'm trying to, like, bite my tongue with Bud right now because I'm really hoping he doesn't re-sign with Top Rank. like, hey, if he fights Taylor, more power to him. But if he, you know, he can't sit there and have people running around like, oh, we're getting blackballed because we got a powerful Bob Arum white dude and a black dude powerful and Al Haymon. So Al Haymon's fucked you over. Why didn't you just not re-sign and sign with, you know, sign with them? I mean, we've seen your guarantee. It's healthy. You're doing good. Doing great, right? We've seen the guarantee, and I like how you put that extra mil if you don't get the Spence fight. That's cool. I think that was smart, clever, really clever. Got you more money. But you're telling me to fight a Porter, to fight a Thurman, at the time, to fight a Pacquiao, and obviously Spence. I don't believe they would have gave Pacquiao to Crawford earlier than Spence. You know, much like how you got to do this, you know, you got to extend to get this fight, right, potentially. Well, you got to sign with Al or at least have a working relationship where you're independent and it's fight by fight. And I'm not saying if it's fight by fight, maybe they wouldn't have rolled the red carpet out like the way they did, Mikey, because they figured, well, we're just going to – Mikey's awesome, but if Spence beats him, he'll just use the Hispanic, you know, name to blend and try to sell off him. And it helped Mikey because he got a lot of money too, you know. But I'm not saying they would have just put it – sign with, you know, them and they'd put you right in there, but you could get the Porter fight, that's for damn sure. And remember, when you're talking about these big fights, these are pay-per-view fights. And Bob's saying we can't even do a Porter pay-per-view. And I get it to an extent what he's saying, but that's where they're at. He's saying this openly. So if you're that, why don't you just go get them? And remember, my whole point about pay-per-view is you get a larger cut of your money when you're with Al on a pay-per-view. It's only 15% and down. 30% and down. Shit, Bob got 20% of Teofimo's purse, and they're not even brought, they're not even doing the fight. They're not promoting it. He got 20%. Now, I understand that's in the contract, and, of course, promoters got to make money, too. They're the ones – well, they were risking a lot of money. They invest a lot of money. Then they risk it for pay-per-view. They didn't risk it as much – they don't risk it as much now because, you know, the networks have been paying for pay-per-views where that wasn't the case prior as much anyway. And I'm talking about, you know, mid-2000s to a chunk of years ago before Fox and ESPN was putting up money for pay-per-views. So, and whether that's worked out as extra money potentially that they could unlock, like it does sound like that Fox deal is like that. Some say it's $60 million a year, but it can go up to 80. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, if that's going to be the they're blackballing me, dog, you re-signed. Get away from them, dude. Sign with the PBC or at least go fight by fight. They'll give you a good fight right away, then they'll probably match you with Spence. And if you only want to go there on one or a fight-by-fight basis, just to fight Spence, more power to you. I'll be on this show saying you have every right to do that. And I respect that. You don't have to sign a 3 or 6 fight deal. But, you know, once again, if these are going to be major fights, they're going to be on pay-per-view. So once you're on pay-per-view, you're getting less money in that. You're getting more money, but I'm saying the cut. Al's taking last cut. Anyway, you know, it is what it is, dude. I'm going to hold my judgment because that was not Terrence Crawford saying it, okay? So I'm not going to do that to Bud. I think it's only fair not to do that. You know what I mean? But, you know, at some point, it's kind of like, all right, dude, you know, let's do it. You know, like, let's calm down. Okay, one more, and then we're out of here. Does there come a time where the Charlo twins say, hey, we are of a certain age, it's time to book fights against A-plus, A, and A-minus fighters so we can prove our skills, cement our legacy properly? When they start demanding walls come down and streets get crossed? First of all, this should be a tweet about Jermall Charlo, then, because I think Mel's doing pretty good, right? And some people bounced back on Woodsy on that. He said, well, he also said now there may be more going on behind the scenes than we're, you know, outsides are privy to. And he also said, yeah, but belt collecting's not a big deal. But, you know, belt collecting is awesome for other fighters. But, who is your Mel Charlo ducked? A lot of people say Hurd. Track that back. They didn't duck each other, dude. He didn't duck them. Hurd got hurt, then he lost. Imagine the feeling Hurd loses, and then they do that fight. People would be freaking out. Oh, look at this. This is what it is. They're afraid of J-Rock now. So you can say Maul. Cool. Why don't you put Andrade and Maul should fight each other and just do the Mannix thing or something? Because other than that, this should only be about Jermall, not Jermell. He's about to have a unification or an undisputed fight. He's still got fights at 154 left. Like, he's been fighting a lot of good competition, dude. So is there an A fighter? Is there an A-plus fighter at 54? A-plus. First of all, how many A-plus guys are in the goddamn sport? But A-minus, how many A-minus A's, whatever? You know, so at 154, is there an A-minus there? So how can he face a guy if you don't rate him at A-minus? I don't know if there is an A-minus there. You know, I think Charlo's an A-minus B-plus. You know, I don't know if there is, to be honest with you. But I'm not going to take it out on him. So if you say Maul and Andre should fight, cool. But, you know, Golovkin and Canelo had chances to fight him. They chose bigger money fights. I get that. Andre had a chance too, by the way. So it should have just been that tweet was bullshit, because it could have been just, hey, what's up with Maul? To sit there and bring Mel into it. So who's Mel supposed to fight? Is he supposed to say, screw it, I'm going up to 60 to fight somebody? He's not doing good enough down there? I mean, couldn't you have said this about Golovkin beforehand? I mean, Andre ducked a fight with the other Charlo, Jermell, before. So, I don't know. It's just funny how he put the Charlo twins together in this one, as if he hasn't been, you know, fighting solid competition. Now, we all know 160. I mean, Derevchenko's the top five guy at 160, by the way. And he beat him cleaner than Jacobs and Golovkin. No, he didn't knock him down, but he beat him cleaner. So, I don't like this next fight. I want to see what his next fight's going to be, though. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. You guys take it easy. Stay safe. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when...